Blog Talk Radio.
From 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock here on the East Coast in the New York area. It is Hard Hits, and I'll be talking sports over the next hour. So I hope everybody's Tuesday was very good. Yeah, it is Tuesday. That's right. I almost forgot. But I did a couple of things, actually. Actually got a haircut for the first time in I don't know how long. But you know what? It feels damn good, you know, because my hair was getting just too long, and thank God that it was back open. Thank God I was able to schedule an appointment. Thank God I don't have long hair anymore. God, my hair's not going different directions because it's wavy. And thank God it's short. And I could actually feel like a person again. Well, I already was becoming a person, but it's nice to actually return to normalcy. So, and, you know, I'm not big on normal, but you know what? I needed this haircut. So, it was nice. And, yes, I had to wear the mask. They had to take the temperature. Yes, I had to sanitize. And, yes, I had to fill out a sheet. And that I understood everything that had to do with COVID-19 at my barber. Yes, we had to do all this stuff, but, and yes, as uncomfortable as I am wearing that mask, I survived it for the hour. So we had it washed and cut, and it was, and we had a good conversation. We listened to some classic 80s music. Maybe he should double as a night DJ. I mean, do a little night shift because some of the songs that I got to hear, classic stuff right there. That's all I'm gonna say. So it was good to actually do that. Got to see my mom for the first time in a while, about a month, and so a little curbside visit there, on the North Shore here in Staten Island, and a great forgotten borough of Staten Island over by Snook Harbor. I went to a little coupon, took some photos of a duck and some nice things, and then it started to pour. I knew it was going to rain. I could feel it coming. We had been predicted, and we had some scattered showers, and the weather was cooler today. It's been very cool. Actually, under 70 degrees right now. The humidity is down after the first storm, but it got cooler again, the second one. So, a lot of things that I had to do and get done, and even, I couldn't stay too long because of the rain, because I had to be outside our house, and it started pouring, and I thought it would last maybe 40 minutes, 45, actually, it was over maybe 25 minutes, maybe tops, North Shore or whatever. The only mistake I made is, should have went to my favorite place next door, get a better salad than the one that I wound up with, but I just was like, I changed my mind, spur of the moment thing, was kind of the wrong decision, but, you know what, I mean, all's well, that ends well, and it was a good Tuesday, and I've been pretty busy, and getting back in the flow of things, sleeping earlier, getting up earlier, Yeah, we're doing what we have to do here at 905 on the East Coast here in Staten Island, in the Forgotten Borough, the beautiful park borough of Staten Island, by the way. And there are a lot of nice parks, of course, in Brooklyn, in Manhattan, but you know what? And in the Bronx, Van Cortlandt, to be honest, is just amazing. That's where I ran some of my track meets when I was just a teenager, for crying out loud, in high school. But I'll tell you what, I like doing that. I like taking that bus right up there. I probably couldn't do that now, but I always like going there. Even though Clove Lakes is always going to be second home for me, along with my high school, Staten Island Tech. And every high school graduated their classes. Congratulations to all the graduates of 2020 officially. And my high school, Staten Island Tech, they did it through Zoom. So it's just kind of I wish they could have done it differently, but you know, so that's how it has to be, and this is how it is. This is how things are. So we got about 54 minutes or so live. Maybe a little overtime, depending. I only got three things that I want to cover tonight, three topics. Three different sports, actually. One, let's start off with baseball. So baseball, as it inches closer to restarting, and that means there's going to be more testing. Obviously, there's more test results coming back on coronavirus, COVID-19. Pandemic, a lot of players have to be tested, and well, here it is, folks. Some players are not going to participate this year, so I just want to talk a little about that. Thought I would, and so here it is. I'm going to talk about that as I hear some more fireworks being set off. So basically, you have some guys that will not play this year. Ryan Zimmerman, who is a 35-year-old veteran for the Nationals, he had agreed to a one-year, $2 million deal. Of course, they won the World Series. Ryan Zimmerman is Mr. National. He still is. And he hit a home run in the World Series. And they also got a beautiful and an unbelievable comeback for them. Against the Dodgers. He had a huge at bat there. Was it a hit or it might have been a walk, but he was a big part of a rally where they wound up coming back and stunning the Dodgers the way they did, and they stunned the Astros too. So I mean, it's pretty amazing. But Brian Zimmerman has been missed the National, and he could call quits if he wants to. He said he's not going to make a decision on that. And he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to make that decision right away. I've always respected Ryan Zimmerman and what he has been able to do. Of course, started out as a third baseman for a long time, shifted to first base. That happens. Him and David Wright, former Met, were pretty close, actually. And they had very similar careers. I would probably give the edge to David Wright before he had to retire with the back problem. But I'll tell you what, Ryan Zimmerman has been Mr. National and a guy that I just have the utmost respect for. First round pick in 2005, their first pick probably ever, yeah, when the Expos relocated. And baseball came back to Washington, D.C., nation's capital. So he was fourth overall, and he's 35 years old, and I can't say a bad word about him. He's kind of like a David Wright. He was the Nationals version of David Wright. I think David Wright was a little better, but I'll tell you what, Zimmerman has come up with a lot of clutch hits in his career for the Nationals. Injuries, of course, hindering him the past couple of years after he had that big year at 32, where he made the All-Star team, where he broke out the 303 and 36 home runs, career best, and 108 RBIs. Had a great year in 2017. Yeah, 32. And I have a lot of good things to say about Ryan Zimmerman. I'm glad that he was a big part of the Nationals run, even though, he wasn't, coming up with as many big hits as Anthony Rendon, who's now going to be part of the Angels' middle of the order, Mike Trout and Ohtani and Pujols, who is getting up there. But you know what? I was very happy for a guy like Ryan Zimmerman, who's a lifer for that team, and he got a chance and got a couple of big hits for them and put together some clutch at bats. And a guy like that, those are the kind of players that you respect, you admire, and you love. And I always did. He was a Gold Glover, 2-time Silver Slugger winner, 2-time All-Star. He's got the World Series. Got that World Series. A very improbable World Series, too, when you think about what they did. And just that run was just tremendous. Maybe it doesn't get enough attention. And it is just too bad that they can't raise a banner with fans there. They're going to open up against the Yankees. That's kind of strange in itself. And you're probably going to have Gerrit Cole going up against either Scherzer or Strasburg. Probably Scherzer, but it could be Strasburg. I mean, hey, it's like 1A and 1B when you talk about those two pitchers right there. And the Yankees, I mean, they can counter with Gerrit Cole. They can counter with Tanaka, who is still probably is their second star, even though I think James Paxton, if he is healthy, is probably better at this point. But still, it's an interesting way to start the season. So if it is over for Ryan Zimmerman, he has 270 home runs, a .279 career average, a 1,784 hits. So, I mean, he has he's done a lot, and I'm a big fan of him. And I'm not the only guy that will be sitting out. We do have a caller on the line. Just take the call real quick from the Jersey area. So, Jersey, you're on with me.
Thank you. I just found out about the program myself, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You have your own program, or you don't?
I do actually do have a program of my own, but it's on another service. But I'll get to that in a little while. I was just going over your topics, with you're mentioning, first of all, I think that, players are making a big mistake by dropping out now, just weeks after, their leagues are getting back in session. I mean, they should have thought about that before, they decided to, before the league was coming back. I mean, why drop out now? I mean, you knew the risk you were taking.
Well, I mean, I don't disagree with that. I mean, but, some players are going to do that, and whether it's baseball or it's basketball. That's a little different because some of them tested positive, like DeAndre Jordan, and some of the players, they have young families, and maybe that's more important to them as well. So, I mean, Zimmerman's a guy I respect and admire a lot, and he's had a great career. And so I have a lot of respect for what he's doing. I don't have any problem with him sitting out. Well, maybe it's over for him, maybe it's not. But as far as Ian Desmond goes, I got nothing good to say about him. I just think that he's just being like Kaepernick. His career is basically dead anyway, and whatever. I mean, I don't got any lucky. He was productive for most of his career, but Ian Desmond is not the same player anyway. He's pretty much done. So he wants to sit out. He'll regret it. He will regret skipping this season. Mark my words.
I think whoever does will regret this season because, this was their chance to play. I mean, it's shown that, we've had this virus, but, we still want to get a chance to play. And they're going to miss out, and I think they might regret it.
See, yeah, I mean, that's what I'm thinking, especially Ian Desmond. I mean, I understand the stance of African-American players when it comes to racism, but, I mean, he's 33 years old. So he's 33, and he's on the downside of his career, and who knows if Ian Desmond's even going to be around after he's 34, excuse me. So it's like, you could find players that can hit 15, 20 home runs. He doesn't hit for much of an average anymore. He had some good years with the Nats, but he's on the downside. So, I don't know what an Ian Desmond has left. So, and I mean, but that's what he wants to do. Yeah, let him do it. Let him do it. It's not going to bother me. I mean, I think that they were a little selfish, both sides, and I think they should have made an agreement sooner instead of bitching and moaning. There was a coronavirus, like you said. So many people have passed away. So many families affected, and so many cases. And people,
yeah.
A lot of people did recover, and they should have settled down, and they should have at least played half a season. That's what I think, anyway.
But right now, we'd be in a half a season.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Under
if,
normal
if they
circumstances,
had, if,
of course.
If there was under normal circumstances, there's nothing normal about what's going on this year. I mean,
right.
It's just, I mean, we're still waiting on hockey, and they got to do all these tests, and they still haven't, they don't even know what their host cities are going to be. I'm going to get, actually, I may as well just mention it briefly. Well, it looks like Las Vegas could be on the way out because the cases are spiking there, so now Vegas might not be one of the host cities, and it might actually come down to two Canadian markets, actually. You might have Toronto in there and Edmonton.
And oh, yeah, Edmonton's still in there, the Oilers. Hmm.
So wouldn't that be interesting? And I guess Edmonton would host it. Instead of Vegas was originally supposed to host the Eastern Conference, I guess that the Eastern Conference would go to Edmonton
West.
If that works out. Maybe the West would go to Toronto. Yeah, I think that if that's what happens. Whatever.
Right.
I mean, there's so many things that, you know, it's like we're living in a new world. I mean, I don't know.
Yes.
You know, what part of New Jersey are you from? By the way.
The northern side, just outside of Newark.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, I live in Staten Island. I'm on the southern side, the south side of Staten Island. So closer to
the
outer
first borough,
maybe. Yeah, 15 minutes in Outerbridge. Yeah, basically. Well, maybe 10 minutes without traffic. I mean,
I ran through there, so I know.
Yeah, I'm sure you must love making your drive through here with all the traffic that you usually hit.
Well, no, I ran there on the way to the marathon, so then that was the first stop.
Oh.
So
you've run the marathon? Or
in my younger years.
Like my father. My dad did it once when I was like 4. And I actually remember, I wasn't even 4. It was like a month before I turned 4, 1980. And that's like one of my earliest memories. I could actually remember.
Who's your dad, Bill Rogers?
No.
Okay.
No. But, no, but
well,
he did
win New York 4 times and Boston 6.
Yeah, you know, I still consider like Greta Weitz, of course, she's been passed for a long time because of cancer. I consider her to be like the greatest marathoner that I saw.
I've met Greta.
Like, you did you really?
I met Greta.
Yeah.
Once.
Well, you were a runner. You said how many? How
I
many
was a runner. Yes.
Did you run?
2.
Did you run them both here, or
New York?
What was your best time?
Because everything else.
What'd you do?
Because everything else you got. I'm not an elite runner, if that's any indication. I was not an elite runner.
No, I don't care. No. I don't care. Anybody who runs a marathon, I have the utmost respect for. I mean.
But you feel like hell after 3 days later.
Yeah, your legs must have been killing you, right? Was there everything killing you? Were you just, like, in pain?
For 3 days, yes. I mean, I ran on Sunday. Monday and Tuesday, I felt like death. Wednesday, I started to feel a little bit better. By Thursday, I was better.
Wow. Yeah, I would think.
Well, like
I mean,
a lot younger than 2.
Yeah, I mean, I have a friend from New Jersey, a different part of New Jersey, and he's ran it maybe 2 or 3 times. So yeah, I mean, he does running though. He's
and they canceled the marathon this year.
I was pretty bummed out about that. I mean, but
yeah.
I understand.
But it makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I can't look. It is awfully hard for me to come down hard when look. I mean, I understand that. I was thinking of waited longer, but you know they have like the lottery, and you know runners have to do training, and I guess they have to make the announcement early. I mean, because we're in June, we're at the end of June already. So you know, July,
right.
August, September, October, it's going to be here. And it comes out the first day in November, I think, right? That Sunday comes out comes out right after Halloween, I think, right? Am I nuts here?
Yes,
like,
yes.
That's the earliest you could have it. I mean, I've never seen that before. So I was kind of shocked by that because I'm not used to the first Sunday being November 1, all right? That's never. I can't remember that ever happening.
It has ran October in the past.
Did it really? Oh, I didn't know
yes.
that. I mean, I'm obviously being that I was a cross country runner in high school, and obviously, you know, my dad having run a couple of different marathons. I mean, I'm a running fan, so I didn't realize that they
right.
used to run in October. What they run in late October?
Yes. No,
holy
I think
crap.
It was mid October. I think.
So when did they make the switch? When did they switch? That's what I want.
I think 92.
No kidding. Wow.
The year I ran it.
Yeah, you know, I didn't even know that. I remember like around that time, it might have been maybe a couple years before. But we went there. We went to watch the marathon.
You
want to
know the weird thing?
I remember
in
90, it's pretty cool.
When I ran in 92, it was very cold in the morning, like about 40 degrees and stuff, and it didn't go below. Didn't go, I think, above 60 the whole day. The next day, the next year I ran it, it was mid-November. It was 2 weeks later, and the temperature was 84 degrees by the time it was finished.
Oh, my God. That's like the worst weather to run in. It was humid.
Ugh. And this was November.
It was bad, right? The conditions, yeah, those are, like you'd rather, like, if you're a runner, and you obviously did it, and I have so much respect for you.
Thank you.
What I will say is that you'd rather it be cooler. You want those cooler conditions. Even 40 degrees, once you warm up, you do all your stretches, you do your sprints, you're gonna get in the flow.
You know what?
It's
actually,
gonna do
I don't mind the warmer weather. I don't mind it warm. I hate the cold.
If okay, all right. So you I remember I ran. We had the New York City Champs, and this was in 1992. Yeah, 92.
I was there.
But this was City Champs. I was in high school, so I'm all the way up. They had that up at Van Cortlandt Park, right? I'm sure you've
yes.
been to Van Cortlandt Park. Maybe you haven't. I don't know. Van Cortlandt Park's way up in the Bronx. It's a nice park. I like it. I mean, like my experience there. But like, yeah, it's very hilly. I mean, the way they have that course is different. Yeah, it's tough. It's, you know, but I just remember it being frigid. Okay, it was frigid. It was like maybe. I would say it was like 29 or 30 degrees. I had to wear my gloves. Whatever kind of gloves my dad gave me. And you know, you have to wear your shorts. And you're and maybe I had a t-shirt underneath, but my God, it was freezing, okay? Cold, man. That was the coldest, meet that I ever had. I did all
yeah.
right, but it was just, wow, holy crap. I remember, like, another meet that we had maybe that same year earlier where, you know, it wasn't as cold, but it poured rain, right? So you have to run the varsity course.
Yeah.
And I remember almost slipping and falling on mud. I mean, yeah, because you have to run where the course is. So I
right,
felt it was really slick, but I was able to maintain my balance and, you know, everything worked out. But I think that's why I like cross country season better than anything. I like outdoor too, but I think cross country, I mean, running in the elements, there are so many different challenges to it. At least that's how I feel. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you were a runner. I mean, you could probably give me, you know, your own view on that.
Well, I prefer, you know, more like flat, not like all four hills and concrete. That does a number on your body. It really does.
Well, one thing I would tell you, and especially a flat is better. This is someone who unfortunately suffered from plantar fasciitis, which pretty much killed my senior year.
Oh, yeah.
And
I could still feel it in my left plantar. I never got the surgery because it just seemed too crazy. And then, of course, I wound up with different podiatrists. I went to Brooklyn. I went to different places. Nobody could figure anything out. I would be limping around school, and then it was just a Dr. Scholl's pad. A Dr. Scholl's pad or insert works better for me because it's softer than, like, those hard orthotics. So that's what I wound up with. And, God, you know, if there was one thing I could change, I wish that I had known that I wish that it would happen to me when I was a freshman, because if I had known then I could have gotten the pads. I could have figured everything out. I wouldn't have had to set out my sophomore. I set out my sophomore year because I just didn't think I would be able to recover. I came back from my junior year. I did good. I was able to get to varsity for a big race. And I mean, I didn't think I would ever be able to do that. I didn't even do any training. I wasn't sure I was coming back, but I did. And I wish I could have done something with my senior year instead of just not being able to do anything. That sucked. But what are you going to do? That's life, and that's how things work out sometimes. But I love my experience. I love just being part of the team and just being at the meets and just being part of it. There's so much that goes into it. One thing I'd say about what I was going to say about flat service, if any time you could run on the grass instead of the concrete or on a dirt path, you do it because it's softer, obviously. It's so much better for your feet. That's what I was going to say to you.
Yeah.
I mean, the hills are tough. They really are. And yeah, I mean, it takes a toll. I mean, I'm sure you probably did the warm baths with the Epsom salt in your feet. I'm sure you probably used
something
Epsom
like that,
salt.
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
In a long bath that night.
Ugh. I would do that. Sometimes we knew my foot was bad, and sometimes I would go to my mom's chiropractor. He would do the...
I'll never go into the chiropractor as long as I live.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. All right.
My chiropractor almost killed me.
Oh, well. Oh. You know what? I'm glad that you're not... I'm glad that's not the case.
I had other problems before I went to the chiropractor, but when I went to it, which is supposed to make you feel better, actually made me feel worse. Within 3 weeks, I was sick as a dog. I was throwing up, and my whole system went out of whack.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Now, I know we can't really prove the case, but believe me, I know my chiropractor really screwed me over.
Now, how long ago is this? This happened.
Let's see. We're in 2020 now, 2007.
So this is only 13 years ago. Wow.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to recover?
I still got problems. I don't think I'm ever going to fully recover because I use walkers now and whatnot, so I don't think I'll ever fully recover.
Sorry.
Physically,
I'm really sorry,
but mentally, I think I'm better.
You sound pretty good to me. You seem to be in a good place. I can tell.
Well, I think when you had the surgery, I think it might change my brain a bit.
Look, I mean, talking to someone that
it happens.
You know,
I've heard stories
anxiety.
About that.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking to someone that goes through anxiety and has panic attacks sometimes. So obviously, I'm glad that I got my schedule back normal. And I'm sleeping better and doing more things and. I want things to just return. It's not going to just return right away, but
no.
I want things to be semi-normal sometime in the fall, autumn here. Hopefully, I'm hoping. I'm just hoping. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. You know.
I think we all are. You know, because you know it's been a rough now. Let's see, we're in June. It's been a rough 3.5 months.
Yeah.
You know,
I was
ready to watch that game that night, and they were like, okay, what happened? Like, oh, come on, really?
Yeah.
All right, one guy got big deal, like, you got to shut it all down, and then everything else got out of control. I'm like, where is all this coming from? I mean, it's out of nowhere. Everybody's getting sick, and, like, everybody's got coming out with this virus. Luckily, I haven't caught it. as far as I know. But, you know, I mean,
if you, you know, are smart and you seem like you are and you're knowledgeable, what you do obviously is you make sure you wear your mask when you're going to a public place, whether it's a store or you make sure you social distance.
Right.
And I've done that, so is my father. My father is over 70 years old. So
well, the thing is this, that New Jersey got stupid over the weekend.
I read about that. I know all about
yeah.
it. I actually talked about that on my last podcast last night a little bit, that all it takes is a few idiots. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I went to sleep. I've been going to sleep earlier, so I checked in. I finished my podcast. I checked in. I'm in my bed. It's 12:30. And I hear, like,
what time
all
you
this
want?
Noise. Yeah, I hear all this noise. It's like a party going on outside, like, maybe down the block or whatever behind my backyard. I'm like, what? What are you, like, you're having a party now? Like, I'm just thinking to myself, oh, my God, kids are going to be kids. It's just like, oh, man.
I know. I did the same thing when I was young.
Look, hey, who didn't, right? We all did. We all
I went
we
to
all
the club and
there.
Stuff and whatnot, and we did that, you know. I wasn't as
but
bad,
but,
you know.
We're still in a pandemic, so I understand that we have flattened the curve, obviously, here in the New York, New Jersey area. But as you said, if people do not follow, like, rules, then guess what? And they won't, then you won't move up to phase 3. There won't be a phase 4. And they'll just, and we'll never be, nothing, and some things will still not be able to reopen. And that's terrible for business. And it's terrible for people, too. And it's terrible for people, and it's mental health, too. Not just me. It could be anybody. You could be anybody. It's just bad, you know? And, you know, I've been doing more things lately, and saw my friends. They came in from Brooklyn. We went to the old conference house, the conference house being a very historic place where they had the meeting, see if they could form the peace agreement, and that didn't work out. But it was
which
one? Done and it was nice. It was nice to
which
be there. And see, that was part of, like, it was going back to 1776, I believe.
Right.
Yeah. The conference house is located in Old Tottenville, all the way. It's like right across from Perth Amboy, actually. Like,
oh, yeah.
If you go on the gazebo, you know, it's right by the water. You know, the conference house, of course, is located, of course, on the land. But if you walk out, you have Conference House Park, and they redid the gazebo, and so you have the ocean, and you could see Perth Amboy across the way. And obviously, all the way to your right, if you were on the beach part, you probably could see the Outer Bridge in the distance. But it's a nice area. It's you know what I would say about that area and Pleasant Plains in Staten Island. It doesn't feel like Staten Island because it's just you feel like you're in a part of history or you feel like you're somewhere else because it's different than anything else that's out here. I mean, you probably have some areas like that in New Jersey. I'm sure.
Oh, yeah,
but
we do.
That's, you know, I think that's why I like driving out that way, because it's a lot more relaxed, and it's just, there's a different feel. There's a different feel when you're out there. Yeah, I wasn't even going to talk about this, but, you know, it just came up into conversation. Yeah, I mean, the conference house actually has, I think they have their own website, too. Yeah, and
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, they got some nice photos, obviously, of the conference house park and of course of the conference house itself. Now, here's the interesting thing about this, and I didn't even realize this, right?
Yeah,
it contains clay bluffs, part of the terminal moraine formed when the Wisconsin Glacier receded 10,000 years ago. I didn't know that. Ward's Point, the southernmost
10,000 years ago.
I can't go back that far, right? Now, far as I know, this conference house, you know, I think it came into existence in 1680, according to this. It's all stone, basically. And the conference that they had was September 11th, 1776. That's when they had the conference.
Uh-huh.
So, see if they Yeah, you had Benjamin Franklin there, John Adams, and Lord Howe, I think, representing the British Crown. And obviously, they did not reach an agreement. And, well, you had the American Revolution. So,
yeah,
I'm pretty sure there were some key battles fought in the Staten Island area, too. So, it wasn't always Staten Island. I think it was something else. I mean, that wasn't the name always. So, we're Richmond County. I mean, we've been Richmond County for the longest time, I think. So, it does. So there is some history out here, and it's not. I feel like that area is more like New Jersey than anything, especially that Pleasant Plains area, because it's very. It's got like a small. I don't know if you've ever been there. It's like a small town kind of feel to it. It's more homey than anything.
Right.
Anything else that's out here.
Well, I'm a native, so I know a thing or two.
Oh, are you? Oh, I didn't know that.
I'm a native New Jerseyan, yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you're in Newark. Where did you originally grow up?
Well, I was born in Newark. My first house was Belleville. Then moved to Nutley, which is not far from there, then to East Hanover. I went to Connecticut for a year, then went back to East Hanover, and now I'm in Roseland, which is only 5 minutes from where I grew up.
Oh, well, I think that's really nice. I mean, so that's very nice. Nice. I'm a native Staten Islander myself, and I've lived in two different houses, and I also had a job with ESPN for a little while where I actually had an apartment and lived in Bristol, Connecticut for a little bit.
What did you do?
Doing some. Oh, that was really interesting, actually. I'm a hockey guy, and I actually wound up doing NHL kind of research for ESPN when they still cared about hockey and still had games. Basically, what a researcher does, you know, they're the ones who basically pitch the graphic ideas. We put in charts for players and stuff, whether it's like all time lists or whatever, you know, like Steve Yzerman, etc.
So did you get in contact with the big guys from the Hockey Nights when they had with Barry Melrose and
I met Barry Melrose.
Tom Meese and what?
Tom Meese, of course, passed away when I was younger.
I know.
And that was just pretty sad. But Melrose, I met Melrose. Melrose is a nice guy. I like Melrose.
Yeah, he is a nice guy.
He's very nice. And
a great analyst. Did you ever meet Gary Thorne?
I never got the opportunity probably because they were doing their broadcasting.
You
know, he's traveling all over the place. I mean, I was working out of a mobile trailer. It was a mobile trailer. That's what it was. I mean, I'm sure nobody's working in that trailer
anymore. I'll say one thing, though. Okay. Gary does hockey better than baseball. I'll have to give you that.
You know what? You're not going to get an argument from me. Gary was great at doing hockey.
But he also did Mets baseball. Oh, boy.
You know, at one point, because there's just nothing else for them to do in WF and in New York, they were actually replaying some of the old games. And I didn't even realize that. I was listening to it for a while. I knew Bob Murphy was on the call. And I was like, wait a second, that voice sounds very familiar. I'm like, oh, my God, it's Gary Thorne. It's like, I didn't know. I didn't know.
But I got
you
aside for him now because he does games for Baltimore. And he's just like, he's not even interested. Even if Baltimore gets a home run, he's just like, oh, great, big deal.
Because
I got
they're so bad.
I know.
You wind up feeling sorry for the people like him who are broadcasting this team. And how many home runs did Gleyber Torres
my career.
Gleyber Torres hit like 14 of his like 38 home runs against him or something. And Sanchez hit a bunch of home runs against him too. Like they combined for like maybe 28 or 29 home runs last year against the Orioles.
If you want someone who's bad, why don't you bring back Bob Uecker? Ooh, boy.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if Gary Thorne, like when he was doing these games, had a little bit of whiskey or maybe he was hitting a little bit of the bottle.
Was a smart man, though. I mean, he's a lawyer for crying out loud.
He looks like a lawyer. Holy crap.
He's a lawyer by trade.
I didn't even know that either. Wow, you're like providing me with all this interesting info that I didn't even know.
I get all the bio stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably do all the back.
So you're not involved with ESPN anymore, right?
Oh, I haven't been involved with them for years. I mean,
so you haven't come in touch with him?
No, unfortunately.
You know who I mean, right?
But wait, who's him?
I'll give you a hint. Loudmouth.
Stephen A?
Yes.
No, never. Because
good.
I was gone, but I had a run. I worked there in 2001 until the second round of the playoffs, and then in 2002 from I did January to again the second round of the playoffs, and I actually then worked. Actually, believe it or not, this guy did WNBA. I actually worked on WNBA telecast too, and pitched graphic of the same kind of stuff, and actually it was fun.
Right.
And I didn't know.
Oh wait, I know who you are. I think I've heard you before.
You probably have.
I think we come across before.
Yeah, I mean, I've had this like same block talk thing for on and off for X amount of years, but you know what? I mean, those experiences were a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and they were worthwhile. And things change, you know. Things change. You move
on.
Yeah,
but if there was one person I would want to come in contact with the ESPN, there's only one person that I think would fit in for that.
Would it be John Buchagrass?
Nope.
Scott Van Pelt?
Molly.
Who?
Molly Quirm. Or Quirm, however she says her name. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Right. I mean, she makes the show first take every morning. She makes the show.
She gets so but much
I kind of feel sorry for her in the same way because you know how Kellerman and Stephen A. would just go at each other like barking dogs, and like Molly's just like in the background. He's like, you know, I kind of feel sorry for her.
Yeah.
Almost.
She gets so much criticism. It's like, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
Because people are stupid. That's why.
True.
People just like to, you know, like Max Kellerman made some stupid commentary. Oh, nobody cares about hockey. You know what? You're a boxing guy, so nobody cares about your commentary on anything else. Just think boxing. And I like boxing, but
I do too.
Cool here. Okay? Just like, it's like Stephen A. commenting on baseball, the Yankees. And I know he's a Yankee fan, but like, to me, Stephen A. is always going to be a basketball guy first,
right.
And a little bit
so
of and football. And football. That.
Mm-hmm.
Those two. Those are the two. So, but Max Kellerman, to me, he's a boxing guy. That's what he is.
Right.
That's his bread and butter. That's it. I mean, it's really not that hard, you know? I mean,
he looks
kind of
young, though, to be honest.
You know what the amazing thing about Max Kellerman is? You look at him, right? He hasn't aged. He hasn't aged like a day. I mean, like Max Kellerman, all right, I'm 44 in December. Max Kellerman's like 8 years older than me. I met Max Kellerman.
He's that old? He's that old. He's older than I am.
He's actually older than us. But he has a very young face, obviously. So he's got good genetics, obviously. Oh, actually, you know what? He's a little younger than I thought. He's 46. So he's only 3 years
older.
Okay,
he's younger than me. He's younger than I am.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, when I saw him, I thought he was younger. Like he just has a very young face. So it's very interesting.
He must be the guy who looks from Dick Clark.
Well, I think.
Oh boy.
The more you do, the more active you are, the better you're gonna look. I think he probably does a lot of running. He looks like a guy that does running. That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, I think he does.
I mean, if I had two good feet, I'd be doing running too. I mean, I just want my gym. I want my gym. I want it reopened sometime before
I
August.
I have a home gym.
I miss it.
I have a home gym I work out at, so that's how I keep in shape.
Well, good for you. Good for you.
Yeah, that's how I
keep
home gym.
Did you want to, like, I you chimed in. Hey, I wanted to ask you a question since I have you.
Yes.
You're pretty knowledgeable. Do you? What's your opinion on having the designated hitter in both leagues for this year
and
next year?
I was always wondering about that. I was wondering if it would ever happen in baseball. I mean, you know, the National League says, no, we're dead against it. We're never going to do it. We're never going to do the designated hitter. We want our pitchers to come bat. Enough said. But, you know, I guess it was the only way they could be able to have a season. Like, okay, we'll give in. We'll go use our DH. You happy now, folks? And the purists, you know, the baseball purists, you know, the ones that, you know, grew up,
like
you know,
me.
From, like us, or even our generation before that, you
yes.
know, they like things the way they are. And, you know, for some people, it's hard to adapt to a change. You know, I mean, I've been around a while. I've followed the Yankees since, you know, since before I could even talk, probably. My favorite team was the 78 Yankees. I can even probably almost any guy in the lineup. So, you know.
Great team.
And
yeah, it was a dirty team right
you
there.
Know, the National League bats and whatnot. And, you know, so this kind of. But I don't think people will really know as much of a difference. I mean, even this generation, they won't know as a clue. But I just think they would never adapt to it. And I also didn't think they would adapt to having the runners on second base in extra innings. I mean, they do that in international play and minor league play.
If they try to push that, I'm going to say one thing.
Nuts.
If they try to push that for, like, a full 162 games, no. All right? I don't want to see that. I don't want to see a DH in the National League. I like the leagues the way they are. And to be really honest with you, I don't understand why they have pitchers just stop hitting, because pitchers are athletes and they all could hit in high school. I mean, we had Jason Marquis. He was like my age. I mean, he's retired
right now,
but like Jason Marquis was a great hitter in high school, and he was a good hitter when he was in baseball. There are some good hitting pitchers. Madison Bumgarner, you know, Dwight Gooden
sure.
would be a good hitter. It's like, I just think that like you shouldn't just eliminate hitting from the pitchers. That's why pitchers could hit. It's like, but I understand, like, they're not going to take the DH away because then it takes away jobs, and there's no way that the Players Association would ever agree to that. So it just becomes like a crap shoot, like everything else. Like that whole,
but
like,
the Vegas,
thing
I know
that's
about
gonna
that
happen.
Oh.
Yeah. And, you know, they're run very poorly, you know, but with.
Well, what do you make of the extra
God.
Inning rule, though?
I don't like it, but. I can only justify it. I heard someone say something interesting, that the reason you do it is just because they don't want to have long games that go like 17, 18 innings.
You would
where
think that would be
rips.
The idea. You would think it would go that way. I mean, it's the baseball tend to try to speed it up. But as I've often said, you know, no matter how you look at it, you just can't speed up baseball. It just doesn't work. I mean, because, you know,
what
really slows the game up?
Yeah.
You know what really slows the game up, though? The walks.
You know what the problem is? It's the little, you know, nobody knows how to bunt runners over anymore. No sacrifices. There's hardly any sacrifices. It's just station to station, ball. That's why you have all these shifts, because these guys are so stubborn. They don't want to, they have to pull the ball. Like, there aren't a lot of, like, that's why batting averages sometimes drop, and there aren't a lot of great hitters. I mean, really. In a year where you have 60 games, you think somebody could actually make a challenge for it? But who is that person? I don't. Who is it? Is there anybody that could do that?
In a 60 game season,
like,
maybe, but that's a little bit. You know, I don't know if it really count that.
You'd have to put an asterisk next to it.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I don't know if they really count that in the stats this year, being it's only 60 games, so I really don't know if they're even going to, you know, even put that in as a factor.
No, what they'll do is they will count the stats, but obviously, you know, it's a 60-game blitz. It's a blitz.
Right.
That's what it is, basically. It's like, I mean, it's just going to be crazy, and hopefully they will take all the precautions. I'm sure they'll be doing testing and they'll be doing all these things, and I'm sure some players are going to come back positive, and they'll have to they'll have to be 14 days removed, isolated. So And hopefully they'll be able to get through it. And there won't be another wave in October.
Well, I think there's going to be another wave, but you know, we weren't expecting this till like till the fall came. But thanks to a bunch of dumbasses who don't know what they were doing, the second wave is hit now.
Because there's a lot of misinformed people. They think you think you could just do whatever you want. I wish I could do whatever I wanted, but I can't. I can't.
No.
Like, when I see people, like, I was driving around today, and I saw all these people, like, yeah, they have some restaurants open, and some people were having beers or whatever at tables. And I'm thinking to myself, they're sitting very in close capacity. I'm thinking to myself, does this look right to you? I'm just thinking,
no.
In my mind, I'm thinking this. Like, no, this doesn't look right to me. You know? I'm like, they're too close together. That was my thought process.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
and of course, if you're wearing each other's clothes. Ooh.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I just think that you're better to be safe than sorry. So.
Yeah, but
I mean,
the younger generation just doesn't get it.
Yeah, they don't.
Those are the ones that are being stupid.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think for the most part out here in Staten Island, most people seem to be following the rules. So,
are you over 45 years old?
I'm sorry.
Are they over the age of 35? Because that's the more mature crowd, and they know what to do. When you have the younger people, you know, under that, that's the problem.
I don't know. It's just when I go out, it seems like people do, for the most part, they have their mask on. I mean, some people don't. I don't understand why. But if I go and get
some of my car. Because they think
they're immune. I go and get some of my car, yeah, people will listen. I do have somebody else on the line.
Oh, sorry.
I'm actually going to let you go because we've talked for a while. But I just want to thank you for coming on. No, it's okay.
All right.
You did a great job.
Oh, thank you.
Bye, Felix.
Don't be a stranger, man. All right?
Oh, it depends on my schedule, though, because I do a lot of shows in a given week.
Okay. Well,
and I host my own on Saturday nights.
All right. Well, excellent. Have a great evening, all right?
All right. Now I'll be back.
Thank you. Have a good one. All right. So we got one more caller here on the special line. Who is on with me?
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, it's going pretty good, man. I was just
no doubt. I just called in to let you know that the reptiles are coming, and that's it. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. That's it.
Well,
every president.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if there are reptiles coming, Rob.
Absolutely. But be aware.
This show has already went sideways because I had my guy from Jersey call in. I think he's called in before. So we were talking about all this interesting stuff. We're talking about the marathon and all this other shit. I talked a little bit. We actually did cover baseball though. And
That's what's up. I don't expect there to be baseball till next year, but
you really don't. You don't think it's gonna happen?
I really don't. I think it's gonna get very bad very quickly. And I think, you know, they'll have it by next year, but I don't think it's gonna happen this year. I really don't see it.
Okay. Well, it's great to know that Robert Davis is so optimistic and positive and realistic.
No, I actually am being optimistic because the way things are going, I think without a cure, you know, this could be going on into next year too. Like, who knows when we'll actually really see sports? You know, like how long can you play sports without fans?
I don't know. I mean, I sat in a chair for almost an hour getting my hair cut with a mask on. Not the easiest thing. But you know what? Oh, Rob just cut out. If there's still 5 minutes left, Rob, you want to come back on, so hold back. I think I already covered the fact that, like, the hockey could wind up in Canadian cities instead of Vegas, so I don't really care. Whatever. If there is hockey and winds up in Toronto and Edmonton, fine by me. probably better ice surfaces than Vegas, at least. Rangers tidbits. The one tidbits that I was gonna throw out. Defense prospect. Nils Lundqvist. Not spelled the same way. It's both a K, a Q, like Henrik. He is going to go back and play again in Sweden because of how things are. Obviously, there won't be any NHL games where they usually are, or preseason, so he's going to play another year of pro, and it probably makes more sense for him. So, and it helps out the Rangers, too, because they would have a logjam. Him playing another year there, I've thought about it, and I think it makes more sense for him. And Vitali Kravtsov is going to be part of the Rangers camp. That's cool. So they actually will get a look at him. I don't expect him to play in any of the games. If they do play, they could play as many as 5 games against the Hurricanes. If they advance, they'll obviously play more. So, he will probably most likely play overseas as well for the fall, obviously, and maybe for some of the winter. And yeah, I mean, they have to do what's best for them in terms of development. They cannot just, what are they going to do? Not play? I mean, really. So I think it sucks because I would love to see Kravtsov, and it's kind of a bummer. So, I want to see the Rangers do something and do some things. So, all right. Whatever, a quick note. And I'm just doing all this quick because I don't feel like this is like that needs to be. There needs to be a lot said. There will be if there is NBA in Orlando, and already have some players pulling out because of positive tests. And I heard that I think 3 Pelicans were positive. I don't know who they are, but obviously not being revealed as part of policy. But Marv Albert, the great Marv Albert, he's 79, and he's been around forever. The legendary broadcaster, great, who could do any sport. He will not be broadcasting any of the basketball games if it returns in Orlando at the end of July due to the health risks of coronavirus. And who could blame Marv? Hey, Marv, what's he got left? I don't know. I mean, 79. Marv, I met Marv once when I worked in the city. Nice guy. I think he went into the Starbucks. That was all I remember. That's right. On Columbus Avenue. Yeah. I know which building he lives in. I wonder if he still lives there at that building. It's a beautiful building. I've been in that building. That was a construction job. That was like my introduction really to the real world. I was like 21. I was 22 years old. So it was pretty cool. But Marv, how much longer does he have? I'm sure his schedule will be reduced. Maybe he's got 2 years, maybe 3 tops, best. Okay. But I love Marv, and Marv is one of the all-time best when it comes to the announcing. I feel like Marv Albert's like the Vince Scully of the NBA. And I know Madison Miller loves Mike Breen, but Mike Breen cannot hold a candle to Marv Albert. No disrespect to Mike Breen, to Breeny. But he just can't hold a candle. Nobody touches Marv Albert, all right? I mean, Marv Albert was great on football. Marv Albert used to do boxing. He did everything. And so does Steve Albert used to do boxing, too. He was pretty good. He's got three brothers. And he's got his son, Kenny. Kenny's great. I mean, Kenny is a natural. Eventually, he'll probably replace Sam Rosen on MSG. I don't know how much Rosen's got left in the tank, but Rosen has a job until he has a job. And that's the way it should be. I don't really have too much else to say. I said my little piece on Ian Desmond. Whatever, Ian Desmond. How about having more African Americans play baseball? No, nobody plays baseball. They're too busy playing basketball. But I understand that it costs more gloves and bats. But kind of disappointing. This was an interesting show, though. I can't think of the guy's name that joined, but he was really good. and it was fun. It was fun to do this show. Over time, I'm only just going to do some music, and that's it. All right, welcome to Overtime. This is Overtime, and maybe we should play some of our Overtime music. What should we play? You know what? I'm just going to play some music. I'm going to play a couple of songs. This one is a throwback. It's something that I really like by the Temptations. So here are the Temptations with I Know I'm Losing You. The original lead singer, lead vocalist of the Temptations, David Ruffin, with the original group with Eddie Kendricks, Paul Williams, Melvin Franklin, Otis Williams, and that is "I'm Losing You," one of my favorite Temptations songs. I Know I'm Losing You, number one hit. They were great. The Temptations movie is pretty good too. Yeah, I mean, Leon plays David Ruffin, and Leon looks a little like him, and he just does a great job playing him. He had all sorts of drug issues, and they broke up, obviously. They fired him, and yes, he really did show up. He really did show up when they hired the new singer at the show, and the crowd went crazy. I mean, yeah. Interesting fact here, I'm looking at the information here on this song. Rod Stewart actually produced this song. Oh, in 1971. Oh, I see. Because Rod Stewart did the remake. Okay, so yeah. But the Temptations, the original Temptations are great. You know what? The Temptations are legendary. Uptown was awesome. It's just awesome. Nobody really talks about Uptown or Detroit, Motown. I mean, really. And talk about just great music. Yeah, it doesn't get any better. So this is Overtime. I am Derek Felix. This is the Hard Huts Podcast. I did talk a little about the baseball with Ryan Zimmerman and Desmond. Zimmerman, I respect. And Desmond, whatever, man. You're just he's just hurting himself. I think he realizes it, but he's just hurting himself. And because his career, I don't know. It could go by the wayside, but he wants to protest against racism. I didn't realize that baseball was racist. I don't know. I don't really understand. I mean, I understand that there are social injustice. You know, would you protest for the kid that passed away, or younger children that get caught by stray bullets and lose their lives because of just crimes and gangs or whatever, and just firing away? You protesting that also? I think you got to be consistent. I think you have to cover both sides. And I mean, that's how I feel about it. And all the stuff about defunding the police is just—it's crap. Okay, it's crap. You wanna reform it so that you will reform them. Maybe make it. But their jobs are always—they're putting their job. They're serving and protecting. And most of these people that are dying, they don't exactly have great records. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that they deserve to die, but some of them didn't have the best records. George Floyd didn't have a great record. I know that. Guy in Atlanta, George, didn't have a good record. I know that. And I've watched the video of that. Well, I've seen the video of that. And they're railroading that officer. They're railroading those two officers. Not for a fact. Just in looking at the video. Now, Breonna Taylor, that's totally different. That's alive. That should still be here. And she was a nurse's aide. So that's a little different. I mean, that's different. But I almost feel like it's just too out of control ending, and I hope that July is a lot better. So, and I've said what I had to say on the Black Lives Matter group, that it's a fake group. It used to be a real group, but now it's kind of fake because of who it's run by. So I think there's a much better way to recognize the racism that there is and the social injustices that there are. It's doing, whether it's signing petitions or donating to causes, or that's what I think. Not just giving it to or funding fake groups that are organizing things, and they're just basically taking their money, stealing their money. That's not right. That's not right. So that's how I feel about it. That's as much as I'll say here in the overtime about it. I want to introduce a group that I like. This is a great group. They had like a new wave sound. It came up in the late 70s, and they were around for about maybe 11 years. It was about 1977 or 78 to 1988 when they were all together. Two lead singers. You know them as Benjamin Orr. Benjamin Orr had the great voice, and he had one of the better voices. And he did their most popular song, Drive, which is a great song. I'm talking about the Cars. And Rick Ocasek, who recently passed away this year. And Rick was just a genius. And the Cars had great videos. They had great music. They had a great sound. They just had it all. And so I want to play one of their songs that I have. So this is Just What I Needed. Just an unbelievable song. So here it is. Mm-hmm. That is just a classic. So two for from the Cars. Just what I needed. It was originally actually on a demo tape. Well, I have a lot of the Car stuff out of the band in 1977, and it was out of Rick Ocasek's basement when he wrote the song. And Greg Hawks recalled thinking, well, that's pretty cool. It's got something sort of unique. It's like nice, concise, and it's a fairly short pop song. And yeah, I mean, you know, it's true. When you start listening to it, it's not the perfume that you wear. It's not the ribbons in your hair. I don't mind you coming here and wasting all my time. It's just an excellent song. The lyrics are excellent. And interestingly enough, yes, it is Benjamin Orr on the vocals, on the lead vocals. And anytime you could have Ben doing lead vocals and you have Rick doing backing, it's about as good as it gets. So this is Overtime here of Hard Hits. And it is Derek Felix Flex here. This is the music part of the podcast or show, whatever you want to call it. So the second song, of course, is the classic Moving in Stereo, which, honestly, you don't even need lyrics to that. Everybody knows what it's from. It's from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, when one of the just, oh my God, one of the greatest scenes ever. Yeah, I mean, really. I mean, God almighty. I mean, it is one of the greatest scenes ever from that era, Phoebe Cates, where he fantasizes about her, Judge Reynolds' character, Brad Hamilton, Linda Barrett, and he sees her in the pool hanging out with his sister, Stacy, played by Jennifer Jason Leigh, and Sean Penn, of course, plays Macaulay, the crazy stoner, and Forrest Whitaker's in it as the football player, and I mean, it's a legendary movie, but that scene where he's obviously playing with himself, basically, that's about as close as I'll say to it. He sees her and he fantasizes her, and she just takes off her bikini and her bathing suit, and it's great. But of course, it's obviously with a bad ending, with a little bit of a sloppy or a bad ending. That's all I'm going to say about it. But, you know, you always hear, you know, beginning, and I think they picked the perfect song for it, for that scene. And he's obviously down on his luck, and he's having a bad senior year, and he fantasizes about her, and, well, who didn't want Phoebe Cates back then? So, yeah, I mean, man, oh, man, she was in Weird Science. Not Weird Science. She was in Gremlins. Yeah. She also was in Gremlins. She was in Private School. That's actually a very underrated movie. I mean, if you just like sexual and gallows humor, you know what? That is a very funny movie. And who was the really hot blonde in that? Oh my gosh, it's just incredible in that movie. I can't think. It was made in 1982. Phoebe, of course, played the really good girl, Betsy Russell. Okay, yes, she was just magnificent in that. And there, Matthew Modine is in it, and he's basically, he's gone with Phoebe Cates, and they spend, you know, at the end, of course, they spend like a little night or a week or a weekend at a nice hotel. But Betsy Russell was smoking hot in that. And they're just trying to get her to take her clothes off or whatever so they could take photos. And it's hilarious, to be honest. It is just hilarious. So she was really beautiful. She still is a good-looking woman, too. It's amazing. Yeah. Well, she's got, what, 13 years on me, and I'm turning 44, so she'll be turning 57. But go and look at some of the photos from Private School. She's just beautiful. Very beautiful. That's all I'm going to say. So, a pretty cool era. I think the 80s were just a great era, to be honest. I think it's pretty cool that you have that both Just What I Needed and Moving in Stereo were on that track listing for that album that came out in 1978. The singles were Just What I Needed and My Best Friend's Girl. Rick Ocasek, who obviously passed away, he wrote both of those songs during the same week, I think, is that what he said? Yeah, same time frame, basically. It also had Good Times Roll, at the Good Times Roll. Excellent. Your All I've Got Tonight is a really good song by the Cars. Wow, that's a damn good song. Yeah, you know what the crazy part is? That wasn't on their greatest hits. I don't understand how. How is it not? All Mixed Up is another really good song. It's amazing to me that, you know, I know they only had like a 10-year period and they didn't have a lot of albums, but what they did with on those albums with the songs that they produced and recorded and just awesome. Awesome. I think the Cars are just terrific. Originated in Boston in 1976, but their new wave and just Rick Ocasek, who was a rhythm guitarist and obviously sing, bassist, and Benjamin Moore could play bass and sing. And obviously, he was got great vocals. Elliot Easton was the lead guitarist. Keyboard was Greg Hawkes, and drummer was David Robinson. Not the David Robinson that we know as David Robinson, the Admiral, but yeah, the different David Robinson. But he just had a great sound. I mean, it's just sad that obviously Rick's gone, and so. I mean, really, they did have, like, the new Cars, too, for a little while. Rick was just a genius. I mean, you want to talk about just hilarious videos? Rick was the master at that. He was the master. You might think was one of those videos with his, what was her name, Paulina? I can't think of the last name right now. Porzikova? Was it Porzikova? Was married to for all those years. And he was married at the time. They fell in love. She was younger. And she was in like a bunch of videos. And she was just beautiful. What I am happy about is that the Cars, and I had talked about it for a while, how the Cars belonged in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is really like the Hall of Fame, like most Hall of Fames now. They did get in April 2018, and that reunion was their final performance. And Rick's been gone since September 15th of last year of 2019. Oh, he passed away on JPG's birthday. That is crazy. No wonder JPG mocked me, because it was his freaking birthday. I mean, yeah, it goes on how long. Wow, that's crazy. I think Rick did not look it, but I think he was like 76 or whatever. He looked a little bit younger. So, and the funny part is they were kind of split up. They were still sharing the same apartment or whatever. And I don't know, there's a lot of interesting stuff about that I've read. I'd rather not talk about it, to be honest. But, I mean, they did have a great life together. So, I think the Cars are just a terrific band, and they're always going to be one of my favorites. I'm going to play a couple more songs. I'm going to play something from that era as well, a little different, and a lot more poppy for one part, and a female voice that I like. From that era when I was in junior high school and had a crush on like everybody, every other like probably kid in junior high school or in high school at the time. So, and this is a cover, and it's another damn good cover by her. So this is Tiffany with I Think We're Alone Now.
that is the one, the only, Tiffany, if I think we're alone now. Here's my question. Because I think she had a really good voice and very beautiful and sexy for her age. What if she had done more? I mean, because she came up in the era of now, or even like in the 2000s, she would have been around longer, or 90. I mean, really, she's got great talent. No, it's just strange. Now, the original, now, this song, I Think We're Alone Now, obviously, has been covered numerous times. So, Tommy James and the Shondells were the first to release it in 1967. Then Steve Hammond did it. And Bobby Sims did it in 1967. Then Gary Lewis and the Playboys. The Rubinos. God, look how many people. Lenny Lovitz covered it. Jim Fultuggle. I don't even know some of these names. Tiffany was like the eighth or ninth person to cover it. I like her cover. God, there are so many people that have covered this song, and I haven't heard a lot of these. Very strange. Why are there so many people that have covered that particular song? That's a great question, I guess. I like Tiffany though. I always was a fan of Tiffany, and still looks pretty good. So, and yeah, I mean, I don't really know what else to say. I mean, she was born in 71, so she turns 49 later this year, October 2nd, actually. She still looks good. She still looks really good. Yeah, the original was by Tommy James and the Shondells. This was her big song, though. Here's an interesting thing. She's been married twice and divorced twice. She has one kid.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think if I was with Tiffany, I would want to be with her. I don't think I would want a divorce. But you know what? Everybody gets divorced. And of course, you know, her and Debbie Gibson used to be like, they were like rivals. Or Debbie was pretty good. Yeah, I mean, that was an interesting era for female artists back then. So. She did have other albums. They just didn't get the airplay, or just didn't wind up having the success that. Yeah. Yep. Oh, she was supposed to open. I see. She was supposed to have the New Kids on the Block open for her, and it became reversed because New Kids became like the big popular thing or whatever. So, yeah, that must have sucked for her. Yeah, really. I mean, especially when you're supposed to be the main act or whatever. That's pretty tough. That is pretty tough. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's just strange the way sometimes it works out for some talented musicians or even actors or actresses. So I don't know why it works out that way, but it does. So, but Could Have Been is a good song. Yeah, that's Feelings Are Forever is a good song. A Storm Standing There is a good song. There's probably a lot of stuff that I never heard, and I probably could find on YouTube, and then I could actually give you my review on some of her other songs, because I feel like, you know, what happens is that all the really hot stuff gets overplayed. It just gets played
and overplayed and et cetera and whatever. And then you just never, you never hear anything again, whatever. You never get to hear any other stuff. But then again, it takes a lot. It takes a lot to get listened to and to get radio play and airplay, et cetera. So, I mean, she's made several albums, but I don't think she's complaining too much. I mean, she was a teen idol, heartthrob, beautiful. So, that's gonna do it for the show. Maybe I'll play one more song for the road, and we will call it a night. I mean, it's kind of interesting doing shows a little earlier. I want to play a classic song. I'm going to end with a classic song. So this is a great song by one of my dad's favorite, like, British acts that came over during the British invasion. They're The Animals. The Animals are great. Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood is excellent, but I've always been a huge fan of this one song, and I used to be able to play it on a guitar, my acoustic guitar. And it is a classic. It is the one, the only, House of the Rising Sun. Make sure you tune in to future podcasts. Probably have one again tomorrow around the same time. And check out my last one as well. All right, good night. And here is House of the Rising Sun by The Animals. Thank you to Rob Davis, and thank you to my other guest. It was fun. And enjoy the music. Good night.
There is a house in New Orleans. They call the rising sun. And it's been the ruin of many a poor boy. And God, I know I'm one. In the house of the rising sun.